G'day, H.A. Maharat here with the Pathways to Healing podcast. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about what's at the core of every narcissist, why they are the way they are, I guess you could say, and what drives the way that they treat other people. And the bottom line to this also is, within this podcast episode, talking about what I just mentioned, it really hits at the core of something deep that in fact goes to what the heart of the difference also is between the overt and the covert narcissist. And that one core emotion in those with narcissistic personality disorder, it's at the heart of the pathology of what narcissistic personality disorder really is and means, and all that is manifested by narcissists because of this. So what is it that is the heart of the pathology of narcissistic personality disorder? It's envy. And envy is not just this pathological envy that lots of people talk about, that we've heard about. But envy isn't just kind of like, you know, a sort of jealousy, or somebody having like a non-narc having a jealous moment for some reason that they didn't work out later. No, this envy is an early, in narcissist, is an early primal envy. Develops out of a lack, it develops out of lack of connection, it develops out of a woundedness, okay, so like in what goes wrong in childhood predominantly. But the point to really get to here is that envy is an early form a primal hatred. So when people talk about pathological envy, do they really ever, or in some cases, it's never been made so clear to me as some reading I did recently and thinking about this more deeply, that envy, pathological envy, just makes narcissists sound eternally jealous, which I guess they are. The more to the point, eternally full of hate. And the hatred we see comes from their experience of inner lack, and that is where their disdain and contempt comes from, and it's what really drives them to destroy and have to destroy or try to destroy and crush the good and the vulnerable that they can't tolerate, but the good and the empathy and the emotions, never mind talents that people might have, but just the very essence of who each one of us who knows ourselves and is not personality disordered, what we have, that narcissists just sort of, I guess from their early years and what wounded them at a certain age, very young, in their very young childhood, and especially too if they had a narcissistic parent. Excuse me, not every child of a narcissistic parent or parents will become a narcissist, but certainly this is the fertile ground of how narcissistic personality disorder develops for so many of those who want to be diagnosed with it or just be it without being diagnosed. So envy is an early primal form of hatred, and narcissists don't, you know, evolve beyond the primal. So pathological envy is hatred because of the experience of their inner lack. So then they need to take away what others have that is good or worthy, or what they can't tolerate others having that they have no kind of sense of vulnerability. So the narcissists are motivated to avoid that pathological inner condition, to protect the quote self unquote, which is really, in a narcissist, is a false self and a detachment from what would have been the actual self, but to protect the remnants or fragments, or definitely the false self, from that underlying sense of lack, the void and the deficiencies. Again, this is subconscious, as a majority of narcissists are not self-aware or to this depth self-aware. This is why this envy is defined as pathological, as I said. The pathological envy, the disdain and contempt of all that hatred becomes all of that hatred that becomes evident to you when you are more aware of what narcissists do. Their contempt and disdain and hatred knows no bounds, no limits, no end. And so that's why they will just use and abuse and target and prey on and exploit. And then it's always that idealization and then that devaluation to discard, to pain, to torture, to just sometimes, in some cases, never leaving people alone. Envy is a compulsive need to destroy all that is good and beautiful. Narcissists feel superior in their view, so this pathological envy, really primal hatred, is acted out abusively to crush and or destroy all that another has. That narcissists, especially when it comes to just natural human vulnerability, which is not just about weaknesses, but perceived so by narcissists, they can't tolerate it. They can't tolerate it in us. They can't tolerate it, what it does to how they then, maybe not always feel, but what they experience inside, which can often just be an agitation, that sort of blackness, the feeling dead inside. The narcissist must aggrandize the false self, wielding the toxic power and control over others to not have the struggle, to not have to struggle inside with the subconscious pain, or which really is pain down deep under all the defense mechanisms, but it's been lost because the false self is so strong and is the narcissist. Therefore, more than being aware of pain, it's felt agitation about his or her own lack, the narcissist lack, which they may not be at all in any conscious way aware of. And then something that I want to kind of extrapolate from here, how envy divides the two faces of narcissism. Well, envy has long been considered a central feature of narcissistic personality. In fact, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders 4 lists, quote, narcissists are, quote, often envious of others, or believing that others are envious of them. As one of the diagnostic criteria for narcissistic personality disorder, along with other criteria, such as self-importance, need for admiration, and entitlement, despite the fact that clinical views exalt the importance of envy for narcissism, the precise role of malicious envy in manifestation of narcissistic personality or personalities, for some, you know, researchers and professionals, hasn't yet been elucidated enough. But I think for those of us who experience this from people with narcissistic personality disorder, don't have to wait for some, excuse me, validating study to let us know more about what we really experience and what narcissists are really presenting us with, and how it might not be aware, they might not be aware of why or what they're doing, but it's important that you know that if you don't already. So, contrary to the commonly held assumption that envy stems from narcissistic grandiosity, researchers have evidence that in studies now that systemic evidence that demonstrates that envy arises within narcissistic vulnerability. So during the time of woundedness. Moreover, they propose that those exhibiting grandiosity are less prone to envy, given their inflated sense of superiority. By utilizing, that's not important, but what I wanted to say there was, so what does that really say there? You know, like, as I'm quoting this part here, and I will give a source attribution at the end, the point is that the fact that exhibiting grandiosity makes a narcissist less prone to envy, given their inflated sense of superiority. See, this is where the delineation begins to come about between the overt narcissist, not so envious, in a sense, and the covert narcissist, which would explain a lot about the difference in their presentations too, because the covert narcissist is the vulnerable narcissist, is the one who's going to grapple unbeknownst to one, to the narcissistic personality disordered person self, or lack thereof. They're going to grapple with a vulnerable sense of deficiency, which is at the other end of the spectrum from feeling grandiose and superior. And so narcissism, the grandiose and vulnerable selves. Well, the concept of narcissism as a psychological characteristic was first, of course, developed by Freud in 1905, as a matter of fact. Critical contributions to understanding narcissism have been made by self-theorists, Otto Kernberg, 1970-1975, and Heinz Kohut, 1971-1977, who generally viewed narcissistic qualities as a result of a narcissistic injury, or more to the point, an intrapsychic narcissistic injury. In early childhood, where a grandiose false self emerges uncomfortably alongside a split from the sense of self that otherwise would feel wholly inadequate and be suppressed rage, full of suppressed rage. So these pioneers in the field of narcissistic personality disorder and narcissism emphasized different and developmental antecedents and structural features of narcissism. So Kohut in 1971, his view was that narcissism is driven by the notion of primary narcissism, which he defined as a normal aspect of development reflected in a near-perfect state of need, satisfaction infants experience during first years of life, or don't, is the key thing. But when this state is eventually interrupted due to inevitable shortcomings or absences of parental attention, infants compensate by developing unrealistically positive self-representations. That's the grandiose self. That is the overt, grandiose, entitled, feeling superior narcissist. And so, Kohut views adult narcissistic personalities as regressive, that is, developmentally arrested in some way. Specifically, narcissists are thought to preserve some displays of infantile grandiosity, especially self-centeredness, and views of others as an audience, although these displays are not sufficient to take care of these primitive narcissistic needs, so which I think there is their supply needs being alluded to. And of course, when these needs have not been met and cannot be met now for narcissists, so the unfulfillment of these needs in early childhood that were not met, they cannot be met now, leads to low self-esteem and a shame propensity. And so Kohut is emphasizing the depleted self of narcissists, which is marked by repressed grandiosity, low self-esteem, and shame about their needs to display themselves to others. So Kernberg, on the other hand, in 1975, views narcissistic personality as a pathological structure clearly different from normal infantile narcissism. Given that narcissists view others primarily as means toward reflecting their own grandiosity, they feel entitled, they lack empathy, well, they have no empathy, and can be exploitive and ruthless. Importantly, Kernberg stressed the importance of envy for narcissistic personality disorders. He's quoted as saying, "These patients experience a remarkably intense envy of other people who seem to have things they do not have, or who simply seem to enjoy their lives." Given, so narcissists depend on perceiving themselves as superior to others. Exposure to others that are better in some way, or perceived as such, is threatening to the narcissist and results in their envy. So Kernberg thought narcissistic individuals are likely to show contempt and derogate others. Along with disdain. It's the hatred of the pathological envy. But Kernberg viewed narcissism as a character structure marked by grandiose fantasies. Overdependence on external admiration, yes, supply, exploitiveness, and ruthlessness toward others. And he implies these qualities coexist with, quote, feelings of inferiority, unquote, and, quote, dissatisfaction with life, unquote, and that these feelings are masked by apparent superficial social adjustment and an assertive, but often antagonistic, interpersonal style. So individual differences in narcissism have proliferated over the years, but generally inspired by the symptoms of narcissistic personality disorder, they often assess a subclinical range of narcissistic qualities and should not be confused with diagnostic criteria. The most popular measure of narcissism within personality and social psychology is the Narcissistic Personality Disorder Inventory, based on NPD criteria presented, well, probably not so much now, but at the time, that these pioneers were working on understanding and researching and studying narcissistic personality and narcissism, was presented in the DSM-3 to begin with. And it was felt that captured the interrelated tendencies of authoritativeness, self-absorption, arrogance, and exploitive entitlement. And it's been the majority of the research on this construct. But, you know, it's important to take into consideration that the content of the measure focuses on grandiose qualities emphasized by Kernberg, and others... the measure of superiority in a narcissist, but how they react with vitriol and aggression against those threatening their grandiosity. And so that's another good reason to think about this. You know, it's never wise to think that you can or that you should or that in any way you need to invest your energy in trying to get even with a narcissist, because their vitriol, their disdain, pathological envy and hate and aggression, not spoken about enough, make them much more than just psychologically as damaging as they are. They can really be physically dangerous as well. But I think this is where, I could say more, but I think this is where we see the difference between the two presentations, that the overt, grandiose narcissist doesn't have the same level of pathological envy as does the covert, more so-called vulnerable narcissist. And so, in contemplation of this, and as you think about this, envy divides the two faces of narcissism. Envy is the division point between, like I just said, the overt narcissist and the covert narcissist. But make no mistake about it, they both do have this core of pathological envy, which is primal hatred. So in very differing ways then, perhaps even differently motivated, but unbeknownst to the narcissist in most cases, they need to get supply, but they also need to balance staying out of, or even the grandiose narcissist does not want to feel, and I don't know if they feel, but have a sense of being deflated or less, or I don't know if they can, I don't think they feel a lot, but the agitation and the just way that they cannot tolerate what they sense, whether it's a horrible feeling or just an arousal of rage in response to this lack and this pathological envy. And so it might be a little different for the covert narcissist, who doesn't have as much protection in the grandiose, you know, feeling of being superior as does the overt narcissist. But make no mistake about it, otherwise what's at the core of the overt or the covert narcissist is pathological envy, which is hatred, primal hatred. And if you think about it this way, if you haven't thought about it this way before, it should inform you a lot about why what happens to us. Not that that excuses it, but it's nothing to do with us, and yet these people have to target and prey on us because it's something that's come from, you know, how they didn't develop a self and how they are living through a false self and one that is just determined to take from us what we have. Like I've said, narcissists always target for our better qualities, or in some people's cases for talent, or if somebody is famous. These things drive them crazy because narcissists just feel entitled to all that, which is beyond any kind of real understanding for a logical, cogent mind of an authentic self. So envy divides the two faces of narcissism. And I quoted a few things from Kohut and Kernberg from, I'm not sure what this is, but from a PDF that I found, and it was, and it's so long, I just took a little bit, written by Zlatan Krizin and Omesh Jahar. Iowa State University, Revision Under Review, a Journal of Personality, and I'm just looking, I don't see a year that I can quote for you. So that was more where I was quoting what Kohut and Kernberg said, and prior to that, that was not anything that was quoted. So just think about what this might mean. If this is new to you, or if you haven't really understood this or gone a little bit more deeply into what really is pathological envy in narcissistic personality disorder, because I think those of us who have wide range of feelings who are, you know, non-personality disordered, we think of envy, we think, oh, okay, jealousy, well, yeah, and then we think about the way that we might feel that if we ever do. Or, you know, overcome that, or feel jealous for a minute and get over it, or whatever the case. But pathological envy in the narcissist is not mere jealousy. It is abject hatred, primal, rageful hatred. Therefore, you can, that I think, in a way, explains the predatory nature of the targeting of those with narcissistic personality disorder. And you've been listening to the Pathways to Healing podcast. I hope that you will subscribe and tune in often, check back often to see what's new and available for you to listen to on the subject of anything relevant to and or about and specific to borderline personality disorder, narcissistic personality disorder, any social personality disorder, anything and everything, Cluster B.